Support for State Street comes from Salt Lake Community College. With 8 campuses and flexible scheduling options, SLCC provides access to learning for Utah's future employees. More information on community involvement at slcc.edu/community.
The private sector is going to step up. We've had these conversations. We need them for sure. They'll make a difference. We're reaching out now to HUD and others at the federal government level. And so we're hopeful and anticipating that there will be some federal funding to help us there.
That was Governor Spencer Cox talking in November about how Utah will fund a proposed 1,300-bed homeless campus. It's the latest shiny object in Utah's bag of how to tackle homelessness. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell. This week on State Street, can Utah rely on federal funding to tackle homelessness?
And is there enough political will at the Capitol this session to meaningfully address the problem? So, Hugo, homelessness has long been a problem in Utah, but let's go back to 2020 for a moment, the pandemic. Between masks, quarantine, and the Tiger King, housing costs skyrocketed. And across Utah, the homeless population spiked.
State and local leaders have tried a lot of different things to help, Sean. Think temporary shelters, they've tried looking into AI and technology, and even turned to other states like Florida for ideas. And now we've got this proposed homeless campus. And one of the controversial things it would do is involuntarily commit homeless people who are addicted to drugs and get arrested a lot. And Sean, this brings us to the two key approaches to homelessness: treatment first or housing first.
Basically, do you get someone into a permanent housing situation first, even if they're still struggling with addiction or mental health issues? Or do you treat their addiction or mental health issues before getting them into permanent housing?
Katie McKellar is a reporter with Utah News Dispatch and has been covering homelessness for years. She spoke with our executive producer, Caroline Ballard, and said providers in Utah are used to the framework of housing first.
The principle of getting a roof over someone's head first, and then with supports and case management to support them with their needs, whether it's employment assistance or drug addiction or mental health treatment. And then on the other side, there's state leaders trying to figure out a new way forward in homelessness. But they also are sort of in favor of a more accountability-focused approach that I think the president, Donald Trump, has steered toward making sure people deal with their drug addiction or mental health issues before they get placed into housing or something like that.
You know, someone who's particularly close to this issue is Democratic Senator Jennifer Plum. She's an emergency room doctor and comes into contact with a lot of people who are experiencing homelessness and substance abuse. I asked her about the push and pull between housing or treatment first approaches.
Utah, it wasn't that long ago, it was in the last decade, right, that Utah was being heralded as, and Salt Lake City was being heralded as having solved the homeless problem, and that we had gotten people into permanent supportive housing and we had gotten services available. And that's not what you're hearing now. Now you're hearing that our numbers have gone up, that our fatalities have gone up. That's certainly gone along with the cost of living increases and coming out of a pandemic. And I'm hearing a whole lot of rhetoric, especially coming from DC and federal side, that this whole housing first model didn't work. And now we've got to basically reinvent the wheel. But for me, that the challenge with people saying housing first didn't work is that, in my impression, housing first never meant housing only. And unfortunately, that's all we funded.
I feel like the rhetorical back and forth on this is always in absolutes. But like she said, it really needs to be a broader approach.
You know, Utah's Office of Homeless Services is the agency tasked with leading the state's response. And this year, there's a change in the guard. Republican Representative Tyler Clancy is stepping away from the legislature and taking on the role of state homeless coordinator. I sat down with him in between floor time, and I asked him about these two now politicized approaches and how to help high utilizers, or people who get arrested repeatedly.
for some, it is making sure they get stability, a roof over their head. But an individual who's in the midst of, and this is what I think you're getting to, in the midst of drug addiction and they're using methamphetamine or smoking fentanyl multiple times a day, we got to recognize that it's going to be a different intervention. I think we should be open to whatever intervention works, whatever people need, let's do it. But I would say we'd be limiting ourselves by saying it's only a housing issue.
Is there any focus in particular that you think does need more attention?
So I'll highlight one, and you've reported on this, but we talk about high utilizers in the criminal justice system. And many times these are individuals that present as unsheltered homeless. One can agree or disagree on the type of intervention that someone needs when they're getting caught up in the criminal justice system because of addiction to usually opioids or methamphetamine. But I think everyone can agree that there needs to be some intervention. Salt Lake City released a list of the top 100 individuals who had been arrested in 2025. The top individual had been arrested over 60 times within a year. And so that's a broken system. The homeless services system and our providers can do everything in their power to help. But when someone is on a path of destruction, we've got to make sure that there's an intervention. We want to make sure that intervention's appropriate. The intervention gets them on the right path, but it's not fair to the citizens who deal with the disorder. And it's certainly not fair to those individuals who are on a path that's leading to, in many cases, death from an overdose or incarceration, two outcomes that we would not like to see.
It's a big job. Do you have any goals that you want to achieve in, say, your first 2 years of the role?
No goals, no chance.
Like, when you lie in bed at night, like, let's, instead of talking to Representative Clancy or State Coordinator Clancy, like, Tyler Clancy lying in bed at night, what do you want to achieve in this role?
What I hope to achieve is to help craft a system where when someone needs help, whatever door they walk into, whether, and this speaks to the great work that's already being done, but when someone walks into a healthcare clinic that serves the homeless population, someone walks into a homeless resource center, someone calls, 911, and they're in crisis and they need help, that whatever door you enter the system in, that we can get you connected with the type of treatment, the type of infrastructure that you need to help you get on that pathway to a better life, to self-sufficiency, more than anything, to a life of dignity. And that's what so many people, I think, we do ourselves a disservice when we just say the homeless. It's us. We're one. We're all Utahns. And the success of someone living on the street is inextricably linked with the success of our state.
So it really sounds like Clancy is trying to just depoliticize Utah's approach to homelessness.
Yeah, basically it's too complex of an issue to just blanket it with doing it one way or the other. Now, Sean, Clancy and I spoke for over half an hour in the end, but one big thing he talked about was Utah's eye on the federal government's piggy bank.
So in 2025, the President Trump's Department of Housing and Urban Development released a funding, essentially an alert that they were going to be accepting requests for proposals, for lack of a better term, and they were going to prioritize different things.
Now, there's been some back and forth in the courts about this. The Biden administration prioritized different things than the Trump administration when it came to homeless funding. Plus, Trump's new conditions for the program would allow the Department of Housing and Urban Development to deny funding for organizations that acknowledge the existence of transgender or non-binary individuals. And the important thing to note is that this federal funding is now on hold while a case moves forward. But if it does come back, Clancy is hopeful that Utah's approach aligns with most of the Trump administration's values.
I think Utah is well positioned because we're looking at an all the above approach. I think we'd be very well positioned that if the NOFO, they call it a NOFO, a notice of funding opportunity, if they shift that to a more diverse approach, I think we're very well suited because the state, we have already invested in a diverse approach to housing, not just housing first, as you mentioned. So that's where I think comes into play. we would need that significant one-time funding for infrastructure.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hone in on the state's role in all of this.
You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. Okay, let's get one thing crystal clear. The state budget is tight this year, so federal funding would be a really, really big help. This proposed Salt Lake City homeless campus is very expensive. People involved in the project have said it'll take around $75 million just to build, plus at least $34 million every year to keep it going. So, Hugo, you were at the Executive Appropriations Committee on Friday night. Tell me what happened there.
So, let's remember, how much did Cox ask for homeless services in his budget?
I think it was around $25 million in a one-time payment and then about $20 million in ongoing money.
Okay, so let's focus on the one-time payment of $25 million. Now, there isn't a line item in the budget that just says homeless campus, but if you add up the money that's going into the homeless services, it equals the full $25 million.
So Cox is getting the full amount he's requesting, pretty much.
Kind of. Here's the catch. Only about $2 million of that, to my calculations, is actually new money. The rest has been reappropriated from elsewhere. But here's the big ticket item. The ongoing cost towards homelessness, that adds up to over $17.5 million per year, and that is new money, and that would be here to stay.
So the state's really ponying up to this.
Yeah, ongoing money is... that's like gold to stakeholders in this area. And Nick Coleman is the interim state homelessness coordinator until Clancy can take over. And here's how he explained it.
Let's reprioritize and use those funds to help answer the question on some of the one time. In addition, there's some more here. And then they've also committed a full amount on the ongoing portion as well. And now this is preliminary and things could change before the end of session. But it's a really strong sign of support.
And look, reading between the lines, the homeless campus is probably too big of a project to shovel money into all at once. But what Coleman says is this funding is going into the sorts of programs that will lay the foundation to the campus further down the track.
So I'm hearing no homeless campus tomorrow, but a hefty investment into services that complement the idea of this homeless campus.
That's how I'm looking at it, yeah. And look, Coleman did tell me they were still actively pursuing the land that they want to build the campus on. So overall, he was pretty happy with where things ended up.
Well, a tremendous vote of confidence from Executive Appropriations tonight. We're really grateful for the support that they're signaling towards the governor's three pillars, homeless high utilizers, criminal justice high utilizers, and really this effort that we've taken on this session to understand what the problem is using some of the data from our partners.
Now, the budget is the bill of bills, and there is still some chance that a couple of million gets moved around a little bit, but it's pretty unlikely any massive changes will happen.
So what about this federal funding piece? Did Coleman say anything about that?
Well, look, make no mistake, this homeless campus ticks all of the boxes outlined in Trump's executive order from last summer about treatment-first style strategies. But Coleman made it clear that he can only focus on what he knows he has.
What we know is that the federal landscape changes really rapidly. Certainly, they seem to have interest in not only this issue, but a number of different issues lately, which we appreciate. That being said, if there was a significant income, sort of in-source of funding from the federal government, we would certainly work with them to define what that program looks like. Until that point, this funding that the legislature has allocated is exactly what we needed to be able to hit the ground running, and we're going to start there.
I still can't help but wonder if this campus is just a calling card, though, for funding from Trump. You know, like, hey, we've got an idea. We know you'll like it. Will you give us money for it?
I mean, sounds like it certainly could be.
And, you know, one question I couldn't really get answered from anyone was, what happens if that federal money just doesn't come our way. So a hypothetical. What if Trump's approval rate continues to drop as we head into the midterms? The Republicans could lose the House, and then the Democrats might get more say in blocking and rerouting those funding initiatives.
Plus, I mean, what if Democrats look at Utah's treatment first approach and decide, hey, we really don't like that? There might still be money for Utah, don't get me wrong, but there could be new strings attached there.
In the same way, there are strings attached when Republicans want to give money. For example, in this case, the Democrats might not like the homeless campus at all, and so it just might have to go.
I think all of this really drives home the fact that in politics, things are just always a moving target. And depending on who's in charge, those priorities are constantly shifting left and right.
There's always a lot of disagreement on the best ways to tackle the issue of homelessness, as we've discussed. But at least from Clancy's point of view, this one-size-fits-all doesn't fit all.
Yeah, there's addiction, housing, mental health, all of those points come into everyone's argument. And the question really becomes, which do you think is the most important one to tackle?
Yeah, Sean, and I think it's fair to say that Utah is in a transitional period. We have a new homeless coordinator about to step up in Clancy. We're looking at an ever-moving federal government for help. And not to mention the debate between housing first and treatment first is getting a critical look. Really publicly as well. And Katie McKellar, she talked about this too.
Thinking of this session as a sort of a stepping stone toward what comes next is probably the best way to characterize it. But at the same time, like there, as much uncertainty as there is, there is political will to get something done. The question is just what and when.
That's Utah News Dispatch reporter Katie McKellar. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugh Urquhart-Bell. By the way, we've got a newsletter that will keep you up to date on the week's latest from the session. You can subscribe at KUER.org/State Street.
State Street is a team effort. Jim Hill handles all things digital, and Alexis Rausch did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production here at State Street, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark helps edit.
And Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
See you next week. Welcome back to State Street. I'm Herb.
Sorry, Caroline. That was Caroline's writing. Okay.
The man will read anything you put in the script, people.
I'm Hugh Urquhart-Bell.
From KUER.